This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَةٍ. Those travelers, the caravan that passed by, got Nabi Yusuf a.s., stashed him away in their goods so that nobody would find him, and then they went off to sell him into slavery. So if it wasn't enough that Nabi Yusuf a.s. had to be abandoned by his family, left to die in a well, or Allah alone knows for what to happen to him, then to be discovered by strangers, carried off to a strange land, and then to be sold into slavery on top of it. Just to put the cherry on top, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ. Not only did they sell him into slavery, but they sold him for the lowest possible price that a slave could be bought for at that time. The Mufassirun said it was about 20 dirhams, which would be 20 silver coins in that time. Very little. دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَ, numbered amount of coins. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. They were not even interested in him. They had no interest in him whatsoever. Now remember, he was still a little boy at this time. His good looks that we spoke about right at the beginning, that Allah had granted him half of the beauty of everything, had not yet become manifest to everyone. So he was just a normal looking boy then, basically. The fact that he's going to be one of the great prophets of Allah was also not known to these people. But look at how Allah works. وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِن مِصْرِ. The person who buys him from Egypt. So they take him to Egypt and somebody purchases him. He says to his wife, قَالَ لِمْرَأَتِهِ. He says to his wife, أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ. Be kind to him now. Be kind to him, be good to him now. Now, Nabi Yusuf a.s. went through all of this and ends up in a position whereby the person who buys him is actually the minister of the land. He's the minister of the entire land, that the area that they are in of Egypt. So now he's going to be placed here by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but still for what? عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا. He says to his wife, the person who purchased him, perhaps he can benefit us, you know, he can work for us as a slave, of course. And if not that, then we can take him as a son. We can adopt him. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ. Now Allah says, and like that, we established Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now you may be thinking, subhanAllah, this doesn't seem like a very happy story just yet. Because he had to go through all of that. And now he's put into this position where it apparently looks like a strong position. But again, we only know Allah's plan retrospectively. And I'm saying it like this so that we can apply this into our own lives. We are all on a journey of life. And our journeys are just falling in place with the greater scheme of things, which is that plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't know where we're going to end up until after we get there. And then when we get there, we can look back and say, you know what, we had to go through that and that and that to end up here. And had we not done any of those things, or had those things not taken place in our lives, we would not have ended up here. So Allah knows best. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Like this, just like you've just heard, we've established Yusuf in the land. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَدِيثِ. And it was in this position that Allah was going to teach him the interpretation of dreams. So we spoke about this at the beginning. The interpretation of dreams is a theme throughout the surah. The dream of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is a theme throughout the surah. So as time goes by now, because here's a lot of, you know, time that just goes by, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't tell us exactly what happened. But what we learn from this ayah is, from that point onwards, he had a pretty good life in the home of the minister. And the minister was kind to him, and they were good to him. So he grew up in that type of environment from this point onwards. We also know that as time went by, more and more he developed this ability to interpret dreams in this position. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِي. But in all of this, Allah is the one who overpowers his entire affairs. All of Nabi Yusuf's affairs. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most people won't know. Most people don't understand. And most people won't even admit, after they see the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they won't admit, you know, that this was of the plan of Allah. People will either be atheistic in their approach and say, you know what, this is just coincidence. Purely coincidence. Or if a person is of weak faith, won't be able to see what is right in front of them, that this entire event, this entire story just planned out as Allah planned it. So that means that we should actually open up our eyes in our own lives and actually see the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the journey He has placed us on. So time goes by now. Ayah number 22, Allah says, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ. He reached his age of maturity. آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. We then officially gave him hukman, wisdom, wa'ilman, and knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means now that He's endowing him with prophethood. He's officially being announced as a prophet by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And like this, we reward those who do good. Like this, we reward those who do good. What does this ayah mean? Like this, we reward those who do good. It's not to say that if you do good, you're going to become a prophet. No, the story is actually telling us that like the system of Nabi Yusuf, or like the incident of Nabi Yusuf takes place, having to go through all of that difficulty, afterwards you find that there's a light of hope again and Allah brings the ease. It's like Nabi Yusuf's story makes a tafsir of Inna ma'al usri yusra. Like that, Allah rewards those who do good. So if you do good through the difficulties that Allah Ta'ala brings about in your life, which is a test, If you persevere through those tests, despite the difficulty, despite the temptation to give up, despite the temptation to commit haram, despite the temptation to just give in to the easy way out, as they put it, if you really persevere, at the end of that road, there's only goodness waiting for you, inshallah. No matter what difficulties we may be facing in our lives, all that we have to do is make sure that we are always doing the right thing in that journey, and Allah will do the rest, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, the story reaches a very, very important point. A dangerous point, an exciting point at the same time. Because now Nabi Yusuf is mature, is an adult. And as we said, Allah gave him half of the beauty of everything in existence. And now it's very manifest. Now he's an extremely good-looking man. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. And the lady, in other words, the wife of the minister, was tempted by Nabi Yusuf's good looks. And she tried to seduce him. And in this instance, وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبَوَابِ. She locked the door. وَقَالَتْ. And she turns around and she says to him, هَيْتَ لَكْ. Come here. In other words, come here, I'm going to take you now. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. The approach of the righteous. It's not to say, okay, bismillah, you know, let's go. No, the approach of the righteous is to say, ma'ad Allah. No, no, no. Even though you lock the door, even though no one can see us, even though the minister's not at home, may Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. He says, innahu rabbi. He is my Rabb. There's two interpretations for this. Let's just do the rest of the ayah. He is my Rabb. Ahsana mathwai. He has given me a good home. He has given me a good abode. Now the two interpretations is, number one, he's referring to Allah. Allah is my Rabb and He's given me a good life now. So I'm not going to disobey Allah and be ungrateful for the good life that He has given me. The other interpretation, equally valid, is he's referring to the minister. He's the Lord of the house, right? So He is my Lord, in other words, the Lord of the house, and He gave me such a good life, and you expect me to do this to Him and betray His trust like this? إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. But then this part of the ayah leans the interpretation towards that of Allah, because He says, verily, the wrongdoers will not be successful. The wrongdoers will not be successful. Notice, this is taqwa. This is taqwa, because in this scenario, Nabi Yusuf is alone. Nobody can see him. It's just him and this lady who wants to seduce him. And according to many riwayat, she herself was very beautiful. And the next part actually makes it even more amazing that Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam resisted. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. She wanted him. وَهَمَّ بِهَا. And he would have inclined towards her. لَوْلَا أَنْ رَأَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. Had he not seen the sign of his Lord. In other words, what we're learning from Allah here is that Nabi Yusuf wasn't being an angel. He was a human being. He had feelings that any other human being would have. He was a man. He had hormones and feelings and thoughts like any other man would have in that moment. So he would have inclined towards her. But because he's a Nabi of Allah, Allah showed him something. The Mufassirun engage in long discussions about what Allah showed him, but there's no real evidence for the sign. But Allah showed him something that made him think, no, I cannot proceed with this. So Allah saved him in that regard. Here we learn that if a Nabi of Allah would be tempted into committing this type of haram, tempted, not doing it, then what are we going to be prone to if we find ourselves in similar situations? Allah saved him because he's a Nabi. He has to uphold that particular level of integrity. Allah's not going to show you a miracle just there and then if you're in that situation. We learn from this the importance of Allah's Sharia when he says, لا تقربوا الزنا. Allah doesn't expect you to not commit zina. If you're there in that situation with a positive end of the magnet and a negative end of the magnet, and you put them next to each other like this and you say, okay, you're alone now, but don't touch. You're being crazy. Allah doesn't expect you to do that. He says, لا تقربوا الزنا. Don't be alone there in the first place. Stay away from it, stay far away from it, and that's the only way you'll be safe. Allah doesn't say, don't commit zina. He says, don't go close to it. Because Allah knows how He created us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then of course, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ. This is how we turn the evil away from him. وَالْفَحْشَى, and indecency, immodesty. إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. He is indeed of our chosen servants. Tomorrow night we will actually discuss what takes place next, because Nabi Yusuf is resisting, but she didn't just come unto him once. She actually insisted. She insisted that he give in to her temptations. But we will discuss that tomorrow night, بإذن الله تعالى. Right now we need to take a lesson though. We might be married and happily married and with kids and so on and so forth, but we have kids as well. Or teenagers, some of us have teenagers, some of us have those in their 20s and so on. Understand that throughout the ages, human beings have always been human beings. The same feelings of human beings, the same hormones as human beings. It doesn't matter what type of home you grew up in. It doesn't matter if you're pious. It doesn't matter if you're a wrongdoer, so to speak. This is a Nabi of Allah, and Allah is giving him as an example to us. We need to avoid that which would give us a doorway into haram. Don't enter into the doorway to go and look and see, okay, you know, what's going on in here, and then expect yourself to be safe. Allah wants us to live a life of decency, and He gives us the tools in which to do that. We will also have Allah saving us if we do what Allah tells us to do in order to save ourselves. But it is so important, because if we don't, it is one of the ways of destroying ourselves and causing us to be damnated into Jahannam forever. Remember, the Prophet said, whosoever protects or guarantees for me two things, I will guarantee Jannah for them. He said, guarantee for me that which is in between your jaws, meaning the tongue, the way you speak, what you speak about, how you speak. And the other thing is that which is in between the thighs, the private parts. Protect those things and guarantee their safety for the sake of Allah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam guarantees you Jannah. Subhanallah. What a way. So may this Ramadan give us a consciousness, if we have committed this haram before, may we make true tawbah from it. And may we protect ourselves going forward forever thereafter. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.